You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker, and with me today and every day, back together after two long weeks, my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people. How are you feeling, Josh?
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, I'm coming along. I'm still battling this thing. It's lingering. It's still present. But, it's getting better. As a late professor of mine from college used to say, getting better all the time.
That's good. So. You sound a lot better. I'm glad that we're able to do a show. Like you said, it's been 2 weeks since we've done a show together.
I know. And many thanks to everybody who has stepped up. Mike stepping up from Dolphins Talk to cover for me when I was first out of town. And then when this thing first jumped up and got me. And then, of course, a thank you to Dante Colonelli, who jumped on with me on Thursday to preview the game against the Patriots. But at long last, we're back together, Brain. So here we are, just the two of us and everybody that is joining us on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page and everybody that is joining us on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel who are all watching live. Thank you for joining us live. If you would, do us a favor, go ahead and smash that thumbs up button for us. We appreciate it very much. And if you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and turn on the notification bell so you get notified every time something new comes on the air. And as things go, there's going to be quite a bit coming your way, quite a bit of content coming your way. So thank you to everybody who's joining us. And of course, follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We're also on Blue Sky. I'm on Blue Sky anyway, at Amplified to Rock. And the Same Old Dolphin show is on Blue Sky as well. So you can join us over there if you haven't done so already. And download, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate it very much. Brain, I don't want to beat around the bush here. I think we just got to jump right into it, okay? Let's go.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It is time for a Miami Dolphins pulse check. This is where you tell us how you feel about the Miami Dolphins in one word. So let us know if you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel or the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Let us know in the comments what is one word that you would use to describe how you feel right now after the Miami Dolphins defeated the New England Patriots 31-17 on Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium to go to 6-2. They are now tied for the best record in the AFC with the Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think that's it. I think that's it at 4-2 right now. Baltimore might be 4-2 as well, but right now the Dolphins are tied with Kansas City. If we go in and we win this game in Germany next week, we're the number one seed in the AFC heading into the bye, which is pretty fantastic. So what is one word that you would use to describe how you are feeling right now? Brain, I'm going to throw it over to you to go first. What is your pulse check?
So right now, I feel fine. The Dolphins are continuing to do what they're supposed to do. They're beating teams that they are better than, and they're doing it rather convincingly. So there's nothing to be upset about. But at the same time, there's nothing to be over the moon about because we've still seen this team play two teams with a winning record, two legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and get beat soundly by both. And granted, I think the Philadelphia game was a closer game than the score implied. The bottom line is you still got beat by two touchdowns, and you got beat by 28 points against Buffalo. So it's great that we swept the Patriots. It was a big win. It's great that the Chiefs lost a game to a bad Broncos team. The whole idea that the Dolphins aren't contenders because they haven't beaten anybody, I would say it's fair. But I would also ask the question, well, is it better to, you know, look really great against these lesser teams and beat everybody that you're supposed to beat, and then lose your most difficult games of the season, particularly when they're on the road? Or would you rather look really good, win maybe one or two games against good teams, but then look really bad and lose to really bad teams? Because, you know, a couple weeks ago, everybody to a man would have said that the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the league. And right now, that clearly does not look like the case. The Kansas City Chiefs, probably last week, coming into this week, people would have said, well, San Francisco looks like maybe they're falling apart. But the Chiefs, there's a team with a Super Bowl pedigree. That's the best team in the league. And they just lost by 15 points to the Broncos. So it's really a week-to-week league. The Dolphins are right where they need to be. They're in a great position. But at the same time, I'm not going to be over the moon or completely sold on them until they actually show me that they can beat those teams. We'll see. It doesn't matter if you beat them in October or September. What matters is, can you beat them when it matters in December and January? So largely not a lot that they can do to prove. They'll have another measuring stick game next week. I feel fine.
I think fine is a perfectly acceptable answer at this point in time. And let's take a look at what comments that we've gotten here in the chat. And we've also got some on Twitter. Let's see. Michael says, stoked. Derek says, satisfied. JM Santos says, satisfied. Hooked Up just says, sweepish. I liked that. Jordan Murray says, fantastic. John Espo says, inflated. Interesting. John L. Williams says, real. Danny says, comfortable. And New Finland says, optimistic. Yeah, I mean, I think all of those are good. Let's take a look at what we've got over on Twitter as well, because we've got a bunch of answers there. Oh, no, I lost it. Here we go. Noah DuPont is feeling good. Just Tom has combined two words. The first one starts with F. The second one is yeah, and he made it all into one word. Politically Finn Correct says, Zuversichtlich. Zuversichtlich. I hope I'm doing that right. He says it's German for confident, which is appropriate, given that we're going to be in Germany coming up. NorCal Finn says, expectant, plausible deniability says, okay. And Tua Dimes says, horny. Which, I mean, could hardly blame him. Could hardly blame you at this point for feeling that way. I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling savory. And what I mean by that, and if you follow me on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, you saw a tweet earlier on Monday to this extent. But I just wanted to take a moment to sit there and reflect on where we've been as a fan base for a very long time. And the fact of the matter is that this team is 6-2 right now at what is essentially the halfway point of the regular season. And this was a team that was 8-3 last year. And I know that we're only halfway through and there's a long way to go and things could certainly go off the rails and things could fall apart and things could go south in a hurry, right? I mean, this is the NFL. We know that that's something that could happen. But the fact is that it has been a really long time since the Miami Dolphins have put a product on the field that has been so consistently enjoyable to watch week in and week out. We've been doing this show a long time, Brain, and we have done this show week in and week out when there have been some horrid football teams. The Dolphins have put a lot of crap, you know, the Yiddish people would say a lot of dreck out there on the field. Okay. And right now things are good. Things are real good. They're fun to watch. You've got an offense that when it is clicking on all cylinders, it is just as enjoyable to watch as anything that I've ever experienced. And after for so long sitting there and going, how are we ever going to compete with some of these elite teams in the league? To know that we are finally there, that are a team that can be considered up there with those best teams. Because, yeah, I'll say it. You know, yes, you made out the point. It is fair to say the Dolphins haven't beaten anybody with a better record than them. They haven't beaten any of the quote unquote good teams. But you know what? You know what else you could say is that there are a lot of teams out there that are struggling to go out there and beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. The NFL is a tough league. And for the Dolphins to go out there week in and week out and to play the kind of football that they're playing and to be fairly confident week in and week out that when the Dolphins are playing an inferior opponent, that they're going to go out there and they're going to win, and not just win, but win relatively comfortably. Like, that is really something to celebrate. Yes, we haven't won anything yet. You don't get a banner for beating the teams that you're supposed to beat. But you know what? As long as you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, you will at least be in a position to win the important games down the line. And that's what the regular season is all about. And that's what the Miami Dolphins are doing. And that's why I am savoring this moment as the Dolphins are 6-2 heading into a big, big game in Germany. And it's just a good time. So that's how I'm feeling right now. Hopefully everybody that's watching agrees with us. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Let me know in the comments below, or tweet at me at Amplified to Rock, or skeet at me if you're on Blue Sky. And if you're not on Blue Sky and you need a code, you need an invite code, hit me up. I'll set you up. I got some invites. I'll set you up. Anyway, Brain, let's get into this game on Sunday, because, wow, they did it again, 31-17. Tua Tagovailoa is 6-0 all time against Bill Belichick. And the paperwork has come back. And yes, Tua Tagovailoa is, in fact, Bill Belichick's father.
Yep. He owns Bill Belichick. He owns the Patriots. Let's call it what it is. The Patriots at this point, they had a nice win last week against Buffalo, but this is a bad Patriots team. This is a Patriots team that really has no hope. This is not nowhere near a playoff team. It's a bad team. They're a stinky team. They're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And certainly the bottom third of the league, I would say. The Dolphins are doing what they're supposed to do. Like, the Dolphins don't make the schedule. You play the games that are on the schedule. You play who's in front of you. And right now, the Dolphins, against anybody that, you know, hasn't been at their level, they've basically dominated them. I do think that Chargers game, as we get closer to the end of the season, as this season goes on, we're going to look back and say that was actually a really, really good win.
I agree.
The other ones, probably not so much. You know, I don't buy that the Giants are any good. I don't think, you know, obviously the Panthers are no good. You know, and obviously, you know, you got a couple of wins against the Patriots, and, you know, oh, and obviously the Broncos are obviously not very good, even though they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But it, again, you know, look at the Broncos beating the Kansas City Chiefs. And realize, again, it's not just that it's a week-to-week league and that anything can happen. It also underscores how difficult it is to beat divisional opponents.
That's right.
And so to own the Patriots the way the Dolphins have the last 3 years, it is really impressive. We just need to figure out the puzzle that is the Buffalo Bills, and then we'll be all set.
And you know, that will come down the road. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there who really want that week 18 game to be for all of the marbles in the AFC East and the number one seed in the AFC and all of that. And I'm like, I would love to get to that game and have it not mean anything. I would love to be able to just play that game and have it really not mean anything. We could be conservative because we got a bye coming up the week after that. That would be great. That would be the ideal situation for that game. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's bring our attention back to the New England Patriots brain, because there were a lot of good takeaways from this game. There's some nitpicky things to be negative. Again, I'm still not crazy about the short yardage play calling, although Mike McDaniel is really like abusing the assumptions that teams make about what an offense is going to do on a third and or fourth down and short situation. The play call, I was sitting there. I think I even tweeted it out, or I was mostly on Blue Sky on Sunday, but I said that, gosh, I really just hope he just runs the ball on this, you know, short yardage situation here. And instead, he motions Tyreek out and the Patriots defenders leave Jalen Waddle all alone. And he just walks in for a touchdown. I mean, that was beautiful play calling, but
it's a blown coverage is what it
was. I mean, it was a blown coverage, but it was a blown coverage because of the talent that the Dolphins have. So what are you going to do? That's designed. It's what the offense is designed to do to teams. They put the defenders in conflict. So when something like that happens, you're bound to eventually have a situation like that. If you can't just beat them with speed, you're going to beat them with the mental game and make them overthink it and screw it up. And that's just how it works. But when you want to talk about this game, I have to start with Jalen Ramsey, because he made every bit of impact that you would have expected him to make. Mac Jones basically just almost completely stayed away from that side of the field. Ramsey was targeted three times, allowed one catch, a 23.6 passer rating, and had that incredible interception on that pass for Kendrick Bourne. And if you've watched that play, truly watch it. That is an elite level play that Jalen Ramsey makes to go back on the ball and pick off Mac Jones. Just completely read it like a book. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful play. So an incredible game. A brilliant debut. Hard to imagine it could have been much better for Jalen Ramsey. I guess if he takes that interception all the way to the house for a touchdown, then it's better. But I mean, it was pretty fantastic as it was. Brian, what did you make of the debut of Jalen Ramsey in this Dolphins defense?
I mean, he looked great. He didn't get tested. Obviously, it was a great play on the interception. And I think when you look at that interception, that is the way this defense is supposed to be. We've heard a lot of people criticize Vic Fangio and say, oh, this defense is too soft, you know, but people really aren't approaching that with the context of you've got Eli Apple and Kader Kohu playing on the outside. And that's not how, like, they can't do the things that Jalen Ramsey can do. And the hope is that with Ramsey on one side and another very heady, crafty veteran on the other side, and Xavien Howard, who hopefully we will see back sooner rather than later, I'm hoping next week, that you can actually see what this defense is supposed to look like, because it's a defense that's really, you know, it starts in the secondary. And so you, not just getting Xavien Howard back, but getting Javon Holland back. If we can actually see the secondary that this team is supposed to have, which we may see very, very soon. If Holland comes back and Xavien Howard comes back, then what you'll have is you'll have Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard on the outside. You'll have Javon Holland up at, you know, the top deep center of the defense of the secondary as the safety. And then, you know, take your pick. If you think Brandon Jones did enough in this game to maybe supplant Deshaun Elliott, or you think Deshaun Elliott, you know, is the better fit for the defense, whatever, you've got depth there now. And then now inside in the slot, you've got Kader Kohu, who looks great in the slot. He just doesn't look great on the boundary, but he looks great in the slot. And then your depth to have your fourth and fifth corners be not just Eli Apple, but also Nick Needham, who came back in this game. Now, all of a sudden, you have all of those pieces, and it's really exciting. But the guy that's really the difference maker back there, although I would argue that Javon Holland is a difference maker, but Jalen Ramsey is really the difference maker because he's a playmaker back there. You know, X is a playmaker, but he's clearly lost a step. The fact that Jalen Ramsey, I mean, look, I don't want to overblow it. They played the Patriots. There's not that many weapons there. Sure. They also played Mac Jones. Like, they don't really test you. But for 1 week, this secondary looked really good. Jalen Ramsey, it was great to see him out there. And we'll see what they look like against Patrick Mahomes, albeit they don't have the great receivers. You know, they don't have Tyreek Hill. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in general. But honestly, as good as the secondary played in this game, I really think it was the second week in a row that we really saw a great game from the defensive line.
Yes, yes. And let's talk about that, because I thought all of that defensive front did really, really well in this game. I mean, I thought Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb and Christian Wilkins in particular are really starting to come into their own. All three of them registered sacks in this game. I mean, I was surprised that the Dolphins only ended up with three sacks on the day, because it felt like they were breathing down Mac Jones's neck the whole day, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, they were all over him. You know, Bradley Chubb, I'm becoming more and more impressed with each week because of his physicality. The fact that you could put him with his hand in the dirt, he's taken on double teams and making plays, and now you're starting to see Jalen Phillips look 100%, and he's getting after the quarterback. Wilkins is getting better every single week. Zach Sealer's just kind of been solid all season. Raekwon Davis is getting better, it seems now. I think everything is kind of rounding into shape for this defense right around the same time, and they're getting healthy. So it is an exciting time to see how this thing continues to develop, because it really is a developing situation with the defense. Whenever you're learning a completely new defense and you're also adding new players into the mix and you're dealing with a bunch of injuries at the same time, it's a constantly evolving situation. So you want to see things moving in the right direction. And I think we've seen that really for, I would say, every single game since the Buffalo game. Everything has been getting better each week. And that includes the Philadelphia game, because even though you gave up 31 points, you take into the context of who you were playing and the way that that game went. I thought the defense showed signs that they were still moving in the right direction against Philadelphia. And this game kind of solidified that and verified, yeah, this defense didn't just get up for one game. They're continuing to get better. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And as this season goes along, the improvement that you're seeing from those guys, David Long, Cater Coho, Brandon Jones stepping in for Javon Holland, I really think this was the thing, right? This was the thing that coming into the season, everybody was kind of like, whoa, look out for the Dolphins defense, right? They made that trade for Jalen Ramsey, and everybody was like, this is going to be a team that is to be reckoned with, because you know what they've got on offense, but now they've got a defense coming together. And, you know, we've been saying for weeks that the whole key for the Dolphins is you just got to hold your opponent under 30 points and you're going to win the game. But now if you've got a defense that is suddenly able to really start to lock teams down, now you've got the recipe for a truly championship caliber team. I'm not saying that the Dolphins are there yet, but the pieces are slowly starting to come together. As this team starts to get healthy, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, you can really start to see what the ceiling is for this team, particularly, like I said, as that defense comes together. Now, the next part of it is making sure that the offense can get better. But, Brian, before we get into what the offense needs to do, we got to talk about our friends at Caldera Lab, because Caldera Lab, listen, guys, you got to take care of your face. And Caldera Lab is the company that's going to help you do it. Whether it's taking care of your beard, taking care of your skin, taking care of your eyes, your crow's feet, the wrinkles, you got to take care of it. And what you got to do is go to CalderaLab.com. You got to use the promo code Dolphins Talk so you can save 20% on all of their products. Listen, this is not some long, complicated routine where you got to go and you got to put your mask on. You got to sit there for 20 minutes and you got to just let it exfoliate and all that stuff. You don't have to do that. It's 1 minute, quick. Do it. Wash, 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 wash. Wipe it off. Go live your life. Do your day. Come out. End of the day. One quick minute. Boop, 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 boop. Then you brush your teeth. You clean your face. You go to bed. Done. It's that simple. And then what happens is you start to look beautiful and refreshed. And I mean, look at the brain, right? You would have no idea that this guy has just been eating his way through the city of New Orleans for the last 3 or 4 days. Because look at how beautiful his face is. Caldera Lab is going to help you out. It's going to help you look not exactly like Aaron the Brain, but it's going to put you in the ballpark. So go to Caldera Lab. Use the promo code Dolphin Talk. You're going to save 20% off your order, and you're going to have a beautiful, reinvigorated face. And somebody might look at you and just go, hey, you know what? You kind of look younger. And you're going to be like, well, I kind of look like Aaron the Brain. So, Aaron the Brain, let's talk about the offensive side of the ball here because it's clicking. It wasn't clicking the way that it was clicking in that Denver game. But again, I mean, a part of it is credit to the Patriots. The three high look is kind of, I think what we're seeing is that it is a proven way to slow down and frustrate the Miami Dolphins offense. But what we're seeing is that to paraphrase, I believe it was the great Keith Olbermann. You can't stop the Miami Dolphins offense. You can only hope to contain it.
I think it was Dan Patrick, but
was that Dan Patrick?
Okay. Same well, era sports.
Yeah. Same era sports. Either way, you're not going to put a lid on the Dolphins offense for the whole game. You can slow it down. You can frustrate it. And the Patriots have done that, but the Dolphins still found a way to get it done. And they score 31 points in this game against the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I think that the way that you slow them down is if you can do that three, if you could play like a shell coverage like that and not allow Miami to beat you over the top, although, you know, they did it in this game with the touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. But if for the most part, you can keep everything in front of you, what it opens up is the running game. But the Dolphins haven't been able to run the ball the last 2 weeks. And I think, you know, part of that is last week against a really good defense in Philadelphia, a really physical defensive line. And part of that is because you don't have your offensive line healthy. And that is a concern. I think the Dolphins also weren't necessarily committed to running the football in this game. I think they came into this game and they knew that they were going to play without Connor Williams again. They lost Robert Hunt early in this game. You were already without Isaiah Wynn. For a stretch, you actually lost Kendall Lamb as well. And I think Mike McDaniel said, you know what? I'm not sold that we can run the ball against the Patriots with this offensive line. But if Tua is going to get rid of the ball in 2 seconds, I am confident that we can move the ball throwing it. And so I think he played the percentages. And he did that, and it worked to a certain extent. The offense didn't flow exactly how you would want it to flow because you didn't force the Patriots to come out of that look to have to defend the run, but you did enough. And I think credit goes to the guys on the offensive line who did step up and still played, a satisfactory game in spite of, you know, being down to your 9th and 10th offensive linemen.
I mean, give it up for Robert Jones.
Yeah, Robert Jones,
I thought he did a great job.
Robert Jones played well. You know, Keon Smith came into the game for a little bit, and it's not like it was like a revolving door there.
Yeah.
Look, when you're down to your fourth offensive tackle, you're just hoping that you don't get murdered.
That's right.
And you didn't get murdered. Like, you're down to your fourth tackle, and you're abandoning the run. That's typically the recipe for Tua Tagovailoa getting sacked a bunch of times, potentially getting injured. That's the nightmare scenario. And the Dolphins were able to survive it, and not just survive it, but they were able to still move the ball, put up enough points to win the game. They put up 31 points. It was solid. Yeah. What I'll say is, obviously, we need the offensive line to get healthy. That is the biggest takeaway, honestly, in this game.
It's for the running game more so than anything else, because Tua is getting rid of the ball very quickly. I mean, Tua is getting rid of the ball. Tua is getting blitzed, and he's still getting rid of the ball. And in fact, he's actually succeeding against the blitz. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next episode, because you got a blitz happy Kansas City Chiefs team that you're about to go into. But the fact is, he's getting the ball out of his hand. So the depth issues on the offensive line, as much as we're all concerned with Tua and his, and making sure that he stays healthy, the bigger concern right now with the offensive line is that the timing is all out of sorts for this running game and the blocking assignments. There are so many moving pieces on these running plays that when everybody is not aligned just right, the snap is off. You saw a little bit of that in the last game. Excuse me, there was a late snap that threw off a whole play. When things aren't exactly right and everybody's not quite on the same page, the running game suffers. So you want to get that fixed for that so that you can continue to run the ball successfully, which will allow you to open up that space again in terms of the passing game.
Absolutely. But it's not just the running game. It's not just the offensive line. The offensive line obviously is huge for the running game. Getting Devon Achane back when they get him back will definitely be beneficial too, because it's an extra element of speed. Even though Raheem Mostert has obviously been fantastic, having the ability to have, you know, all four of your speed guys on the field at the same time really, really stresses out the defense and stretches them out and has to make them account for things. It causes more space. But also, I think at some point, and you see it, again, in the short yardage stuff, not just the fourth and short stuff, I'm talking about near the goal line. I thought the Dolphins got, as bad as things went last week against Philadelphia with the officiating, I thought the Dolphins got a gift in this game with a pass interference call on J.C. Jackson that I thought was very, very touchy. If it would have gone, if it was the other way around and that was like Kader Kohu getting called for a penalty against a Patriots receiver, I think we would have been talking about how we got jobbed for the second week in a row. And if that play doesn't happen, you're probably, you know, you're kicking a field goal. This game all of a sudden is a lot closer. It's a different situation. And the reason that is because, again, the Dolphins are showing an aversion to just lining up, putting a fullback in the game and hammering it home. Just, you need a yard or two, just run it up the middle. They don't feel confident in it. I think part of it is because, you know, obviously having some guys missing from the offensive line, they're not confident in it. But we've been seeing this even with, you know, at the beginning of the season. And I think the more you feel not confident in it as a play caller, the more the players on the field are going to be less confident in that play call. And at some point, I still think you're going to need to be able, I think it's the missing element of this offense is the ability to play smash mouth football. Because whether you like the national narrative, whether you agree with it, disagree with it, whatever it is, there is a narrative about the Dolphins being soft that is absolutely fair. This is a finesse offense. It's a timing offense. At some point in this game and in this league, you need to be able to out physical the other team. You can out finesse up to a certain, I mean, look, we're fans of the Dolphins. Dan Marino's best teams put up all the points in the regular season. And then when they got to the playoffs against really good defenses, They struggled because they were too finesse. And this team has the makings of those teams. We know that they can put up a lot of points. We know that they can be explosive and a lot of fun to watch. But against really good defenses who are going to take some things away, you know, what happens when you play a really good defense that says, hey, we're going to play in that three deep shell, or we're going to, and then we've got good linebackers that are going to play a little bit deeper, and they're going to make you cut off your routes a little bit more shallow. And then at the same time, their defensive line is going to hold steady, and they're not just going to give up big runs in the rushing game. And they're not just going to get pushed around in the trenches. What happens when you play those defenses? Well, so far this season, when the Dolphins have played really good defenses, they've struggled. It's not just been the defense that struggled. It's been the offense that struggled. Against Buffalo, the offense was really good in the first half, struggled in the second half, had their fits and starts. Against Philadelphia, the offense absolutely struggled. The offense was the reason you lost the game against Philadelphia. And until they develop that smash mouth brand of offense to complement, you know, what they can do on the edges with all the speed and all the finesse and timing, then I think you're just shy of being that truly, truly unstoppable offense.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. But I mean, I think all that being said, I think we've only played 8 games. We're at the halfway point and the bye is coming up after this next game. There's going to be opportunity for things to get implemented and things to get changed and things to get tweaked. So I think there's a lot still ahead of us. And I think Mike McDaniel has purposely, I don't think we've seen all that we're going to see. So I think there's still time for things to evolve a little bit. I got another question because we've talked about the offensive line playing admirably. Can I ask you a question? Because I saw this proposed on X, formerly known as Twitter, by a certain Miami Dolphins beat writer who said that Austin Jackson is playing at a Pro Bowl level. And then I started to think about it, because at first I was like, no way. And then I was like, actually, Austin Jackson is playing at a Pro Bowl level. And I think it's kind of hard to argue. He's actually like, I mean, he didn't give up a pressure or anything. I mean, he was perfect in this game against New England. I mean, there have been times where he's gotten beat this season, but there are times where everybody gets beat over the course of the season. Quite frankly, Austin Jackson has found something this year. It's like all of the potential that this team thought he had for the longest time. And listen, we have been as relentless and ruthless as everybody else in picking apart his performances over the years. But something has dropped in with Austin Jackson this year. And suddenly, this guy is a player and he's taken it to another level. So I think we all got to give some props to Austin Jackson right now, because he's putting it together and he's put himself into, I mean, yeah, I would say it is not ridiculous. In fact, I would say if you're having a conversation about right tackles that should be in the Pro Bowl conversation, it's more ridiculous for him to not be in the conversation than it is for him to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
that said, we've played 8 games.
Yeah, we've played 8 games. Also, the Pro Bowl is kind of a sham, you know. A lot of it is based on.
Then I'll say he's playing at an all pro level, because he is.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree that he's playing at an all pro level, but he belongs in the conversation for, you know, the Pro Bowl. He may get there if the Dolphins continue to play at this level offensively and they continue to run the ball really well, then that's where the offensive line is going to get a lot of credit. I think most people, when they think about the Dolphins offense, they think about Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They think about all the speed. They think about how quickly Tua is getting rid of the ball, because that's become a big talking point for this offense as a whole and why they're having so much success. And I think what it does is, unless you are a player that has played at a Pro Bowl caliber level for a few years, then people are just going to say, well, I don't care that he hasn't given up any sacks. That's just a product of the offense. Where he has played at a Pro Bowl level, and it's impossible to debate, is what he's done on the ground game. Because he's him and Robert Hunt and, when healthy, Connor Williams have been the Dolphins' best run blockers all season. I mean, I'd say Teron Armstead, but he played for like one game. So it's hard to put Teron Armstead in that category. But from the center onto the right tackle, so Connor Williams, Robert Hunt, and Austin Jackson, when they have run to the right side, they have had some big time runs to that side because those guys have been really, really good. They're very, very athletic, and all of those guys have played at a Pro Bowl caliber level. And I think he'll get talk about being in, you know, the Pro Bowl conversation if the Dolphins running game continues to have success. Now, if that slows down, because that's slowed down here in the last 2 weeks, if they all of a sudden are not having the success running the football, and then, you know, what you're holding up is just, well, he hasn't given up that many sacks. Well, I think you'll look around the league and you'll see other tackles that haven't given up that many sacks whose quarterbacks don't get rid of the ball in 2 seconds. And they'll say, well, Austin Jackson has been a turnstile since he came into this league. And the only difference is now his quarterback is getting rid of the ball quicker. And I think it's fair. That said, Austin Jackson is absolutely playing better in pass protection. And he's, even though he's always been pretty good as a run blocker, he's taken that to a whole other level this season.
Yeah. And he's certainly earned himself a conversation about a contract extension coming up here, probably in the offseason. But listen, Brent, we're talking about the offensive line, and we did get a question that I want to address real quick because we do have some news on it. And it's from Jordan Murray. He asks if there's a chance if Armstead can play. He is going to Germany with the team, so he wants to know if there's any chance that Armstead can play. And the word is from Mike McDaniel in his press conference on Monday. What he said was that Armstead is going to travel with the team and that they are continuing to monitor him, and there is a possibility that his practice window could open this week, which does mean that it is possible that he could play as soon as this week in Germany against Kansas City. I would frankly be a little surprised if they were to activate him based just on how the offensive line has been holding up. I wouldn't say it's impossible that he will play. It is certainly a possibility, but I don't know that that's something that I'm going to expect. In other news, and I haven't heard this officially yet, but based off of his Twitter, I believe that Javon Holland cleared the concussion protocol today. So it looks like we're going to see Javon Holland back on the field for this game coming up. I would be surprised if we didn't see Xavien Howard back this Sunday. This team is getting healthier. This team is getting healthier slowly but surely. It's a game of attrition, so a lot of people are going to continue. Like, you're going to get guys back and other guys are going to go down. That's just how this works. But, you know, this team is certainly moving forward. We're getting healthier, and that's good as we come down the stretch and we get into this really important part of the season. Brain, other things that we got to talk about, and it's so funny. Well,
can I touch on that?
Who do you want to touch on?
I want to touch on Armstead.
Make sure you have their permission before you touch on them.
Yes, consent is sexy, as they say. Not just Armstead, but also Connor Williams, Robert Hunt.
Connor Williams, who was active for this game against New England, but did not play.
Yeah, so I assume Connor Williams is going to play next week. And I think the question marks, you know, Robert Hunt's day-to-day with the hamstring.
We're all day-to-day.
And then Armstead, who can be activated this week. Maybe he'll practice. This team, based on what they've done so far this season, my guess is Robert Hunt's not going to play. They'll give him the extra week. He'll have the bye week so that they make sure that he's 100%. Teron Armstead, if there's any doubt that he's not 100%, they're probably going to wait. And while I totally understand this strategy, and I don't typically disagree with it because I'd rather have guys healthy in December and January than in October and November, this is a big game next week. And we'll talk about it on Thursday, but this is a massive game. This isn't just like the Eagles game where 2 weeks ago, Mike and I sat here on the show and we said, well, this game really in the grand scheme of things doesn't really matter. It's really about respect, you know, for the national narrative, because it's on national TV and it's against a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, but it's a conference. It's not a conference game. Now you've got a chance to not just be the number one seed going into the bye week, but be the number one seed and hold a one game advantage with the tiebreaker of head to head. And you're doing it on a neutral site. So you're not going to have the excuse that you had in Buffalo and in Philadelphia of this is, you know, a hostile environment. It's a neutral field. My guess is there's probably going to be as many Dolphin fans there as Kansas City fans, or it's going to be relatively close. I don't think the crowd is going to matter in this game. Dolphins got to win this game. This is a big, big game. And so Connor Williams got to play. Xavien Howard's wanted to play the last 2 weeks. Like, if these guys are 80%, they got to play. This is not the type of game where you could say, well, we need to be 100% because we need these guys to be 100. You've got a bye week the following week. Like, I get it. If these guys are nowhere near 100%, then fine, rest them. But if these guys are saying that they want to play and they're practicing all week, these guys got to play for this game. You cannot afford to lose this game because you have Teron Armstead sitting on the bench because you're scared he's going to get hurt. Like, because you're scared Connor Williams is going to get hurt. Because at the end of the day, if you lose this football game and then you get to the playoffs and the difference between you being the number one seed, having a bye and home field advantage is losing this game and you lost it because, or partly because, you sat out players with minor injuries, that's kind of inexcusable. Like, you've got to, this is a game where you have to play your players if they can go. This is a playoff type of atmosphere. It's a big time game. It's not just a game that you can really afford to lose.
There it is. We're going to talk more about it on Thursday, so make sure you're joining us. Make sure you've subscribed already to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you've hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, because we're going to be back in your earballs later this week, and you're going to want to hear what we have to say as we preview that game. But Brain, it's a statement of just how good things are going right now for this team. We have not talked about the quarterback. We have not really talked about the, we talked about the running game not going, but I mean, Tua Tagovailoa had another great game. Yes, he is still good for one or two stinky decisions per game, and I think a lot of it comes from his natural aggressiveness and his desire to throw to spots and his trust in his receivers that sometimes he gets a little bit locked in, and as is the case on that Duggar interception, he threw it to a spot and didn't take the time to notice that Duggar was right there ready to make that interception, didn't read that defender. He was kind of locked in on that spot, and that's something that happens from time to time. And you know, we'd like him to clean that up. But otherwise, I mean, it was another pretty sparkling game from Tua Tagovailoa. Got everybody involved, had 10 different players catching passes. Tyreek, another massive game, 8 receptions, 112 yards, a touchdown. Jaylen Waddle finally had a big breakout game with 7 receptions for 121 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek becomes the first player in 62 years to have 1,000 receiving yards after 8 games. So he is currently on pace to break 2,000 yards by game 16, which I know there's a lot of legitimacy nerds out there when it comes to records, but you know what, whether he breaks it in 16 or 17 games, it's just as legitimate. And he's on track. So it's looking pretty good. And again, just another very good performance. For this Miami Dolphins quarterback and for this Dolphins offense. And it's just, you know, it's getting to that point where you're not, I mean, you're kind of just not really worried about it. week in and week out. It's pretty consistent at this point, and you're starting to feel pretty good about it week in and week out, and I think that's as big of a compliment as you could pay to the quarterback as any.
Without a doubt, he's shown that he's a franchise quarterback, and this franchise's quarterback, and this offense runs perfectly for his strengths, and he's playing at a very high level. I'm not going to sweep under the rug the 1 to 2 bad throws that he makes a game, because although they don't cost you games against the Patriots or the Giants, although they very easily could have, the interception that he throws against Philadelphia is a big time interception in a key part of the game. The interception that he throws against Buffalo is a big time interception and a big momentum changing game that or play that ultimately led to that game getting out of hand. These things need to be corrected. Now, that said, you can't just focus on the bad when he's done so much good. But so you got to take the good with the bad. Where I'm at with Tua is he's been so consistently the same quarterback all season, where he's been so great and then has had one or two really head scratching throws that have been disastrous, that you just kind of say, all right, well, this is kind of who he is. And you hope that those things get fine tuned a little bit, because you remember again that this is still an evolving player and an evolving offense, and it can get better. But at this point, this is kind of who he is. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No, he's not Patrick Mahomes. But is Patrick Mahomes an infallible quarterback? No.
Patrick Mahomes played with the flu yesterday and promptly vomited all over himself for the whole game on Sunday.
So, I mean,
not literally. Right. Well, don't go looking up for those points, highlights.
So you could have. Well, that's what you meant. Yeah. But I think that particularly if this team is not going to have the physicality to play smash mouth football, and they're going to rely on their quarterback to move the ball. I mean, granted, they're going to need a running game, whether it's smash mouth, you know, outside zone, like however you want to do it, they're going to need a running game. But if it's ultimately going to be all finesse, you're going to need your quarterback to clean those things up, because those are the things that are going to cost you a game in the playoffs against really good teams. So I'm not going to sweep that stuff under the rug, but at the same time, I'm not going to kill him for it, because he's not the only quarterback that's thrown an interception a game, especially if he's going to throw 3 touchdowns a game. So you just take the good with the bad. It's like, you know, Dan Marino, you know, set the all-time record for touchdown passes before he retired. But he was also one of the leaders in interceptions thrown. Brett Favre, you know, one of the all-time leaders in touchdown passes. Also threw a bunch of interceptions in his career. A bunch of dumb interceptions. It's just kind of who Tua is. He's a little bit of a gunslinger. He's going to play ultra aggressive. And the truth is that for this offense to really operate at its best, you need Tua to play aggressive. If Tua starts playing scared, then this offense is going to struggle for it. So you need him to still play with that aggression. You need him to have the short memory and bounce back from those interceptions and not let it snowball, which he's done a great job of this season. You just want to see him fine tune it a little bit, because that's going to be the difference between Tua being a very good quarterback and Tua being a truly elite Pro Bowl All Pro caliber.
There it is.
MVP caliber quarterback. He's going to be in the conversation because of the numbers, but I don't think he's going to win it if he keeps throwing 1 to 2 stupid passes every week.
Well, we'll close with this, because this is one of my favorite things about this game, about this Miami Dolphins offense and Tua in particular. Every time they screwed up, every time the Patriots managed to land a punch, you know, like, listen, Patriots scored 10 points right off of Dolphins turnovers. The fumble first thing in the second half, the interception in the first half. Patriots immediately scored off of both of those plays. But how did the Dolphins respond? Going right back down the field and getting their points back. And that is something that a truly top-tier NFL team is going to do, is that you're going to land a punch and then we're going to land a punch right back. And in fact, the Dolphins eventually did more than land a punch. They ended up winning by 2 touchdowns. So the signs are there. The signs are good. They've just got to keep it up and keep that consistency going and keep winning the games that you're supposed to win. And now you've got a situation where you find yourself heading in to the last game before the bye against the Kansas City Chiefs, that what has pretty much been the consensus team to beat in the AFC for the last 5 years, right? I mean, it's been them and the Bengals. Those are the teams. And they've got to do it. They've got an opportunity. I mean, you could say the Bills are in that conversation, but the Bills have constantly fallen short themselves. And Bills haven't been in the Super Bowl, so it's not them. They're not the team to beat. It's the Bengals and it's the Chiefs. And now you've got an opportunity to go toe-to-toe, another opportunity to show that you can beat those teams that are the very best of the best. And as we saw, and we'll talk about this more on Thursday, there is a roadmap to beat these Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that more on Thursday. Brain, any last words that you want to say about the Patriots game before we wrap this thing up and get out of here? Because people want to have some dinner.
I want to have some dinner. I was eating so good all weekend in New Orleans. And
we got to do a whole bonus episode about your... Well, maybe one day when we set up a Patreon, we'll do...
subscribe to the Patreon to get Aaron the Brain for Aaron the Brain food recommendations.
Yeah. He's going to tell you not to eat at Pollo Tropical, and he's going to tell you all the good places to go to eat in New Orleans. That's what you got to know. All right. Then that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Thanks as always for listening. Make sure you're following us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Get yourself some good face cleansing liquid formulations from our friends at Caldera Lab. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You'll save 20%. And we will be back on Thursday to preview this massive, massive game against the Kansas City Chiefs. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
I'm currently going through beignet withdrawal. We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm mighty, mighty.